Welcome one, welcome all to the Air Raid Podcast. Presented by Viva the Matadors. You are on once again on the championship level podcast with your boy Albie Shore and Dylan. We are headed to the championship game. How do you feel?
Woo! Natty, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, that is the exact, when he first called me for the podcast, that's the exact noise that he made. I didn't know what it was. Now I do. It is an awesome feeling. I, you know, this is a feeling I never thought I'd actually enjoy as a Texas Tech fan, to be honest, that we're in the national championship game. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, these things don't typically happen to Texas Tech, and it feels like we are not in real life. It's incredible what Chris Beard has done in 3 short years in Lubbock, and it's a testament to this program and where this program is going. We're going to a national championship, and I think we got a great shot at taking it home.
Yeah, I mean, you think about that. Beard's only been at Tech for 3 years. This isn't something that he's been building to for like a decade or something like that, and slowly making like 3 years. That's all it took. After losing 5 of the top 6 scorers from last year's team, a legendary team, class, mind you, losing 5 of the top 6 scorers and still not only regrouping, but it's not like he, like, and I'll start this over by saying this. Usually when a team comes out of nowhere, you know, usually you can point to like, okay, they're probably, you know, they're doing some shady stuff, some under the cover stuff. For example, when Ole Miss all of a sudden had like the number 1 recruiting class on football, you were like, okay, only a matter of time before they get busted. And sure enough, they did, right? Like usually whenever a team comes out of nowhere and starts becoming one of the top recruiters, recruiting classes out of nowhere, you're like, okay. But Coach Beard is doing this with a bunch of 3 stars. The highest recruited guy on the team currently playing is Davide Moretti, who I think was barely a 4-star player. Every other player on the team was a 3-star player.
Yeah, exactly. God forbid a blue blood isn't in the natty, but Chris Beard has found a way to do it without blue bloods.
Yeah, and so the recruiting is getting better, but you got to look at this team, is that you have a 3-star center in Tariq Owens, who's transferred twice, a two-star. Jared Culver was not a top 300 player. He was a 2-star guard from Lubbock, Texas, who didn't even want to go to Tech. It was actually, and I didn't know this, to be honest, but it was actually just documented that he wanted to leave the nest. He wanted to see what else was out there. It was Beard who convinced him, come on, man, I will show you the way. Just stay in town, right? You have like I said, Davide Moretti from Italy. He was a 4-star player, was supposed to be good, but had a struggle. He struggled his freshman year. You have a guy like Norrence Odiazi, who's dealt with a plethora of injury issues. So though he came in as a big recruit, as a plethora of injuries, and he's still only a 3-star, right? Deshaun Corpru, a guy who was playing JUCO basketball last year. Brandon Francis, a highly recruited guy who had to transfer out from Florida and almost dropped out of Tech. Like, there's so many stories from this team, and to think that this is the team that's going to the national championship game is quite amazing.
Yeah, and you can even go back to last year. If you want to go back to last year's Elite Eight run, most of that wasn't even Chris Beard's team. He didn't put that team together. Tubby Smith did, and he just happened to assemble it and move them over to an Elite Eight squad, which is ridiculous. And Norrence is the last of the Tubby Smith guys, and Tubby Smith was in the house supporting Texas Tech last night, so that was cool. But yeah, it's just incredible what this guy can do in 3 years.
One thing I'll say is that Tubby Smith being in the house supporting Tech, it kind of tells you something, because Chris Beard has never once talked crap about Tubby Smith. He's actually thanked him many times about what he's done for Texas Tech basketball, how the fact that he was able to recruit a lot of those guys, the fact that when he came in, Beard talked about the fact that those guys like Keenan Evans, like Justin Gray, when he came in there, they were already well coached. So it's easier to come into a situation where you're already having guys that already know how to play the game of basketball the right way, right? And so he already's having to deal with that. Now, so Norrence Odiazi, he's the guy that came in as a freshman, was the star of the class. The star of that great class, what was previously known as the greatest class in Red River basketball history, he was a star. Then he got hurt. He got hurt, couldn't jump like he used to, and he became a different player. He was no longer the guy that you're building a team around. Now he was a piece. But he's bought in. He's bought into Chris Beard. All these guys have bought into Chris Beard, and it's quite amazing. So let's go ahead and get into a recap of the Tech-Michigan State game. Culver struggled in this game. speak on that a little bit.
I just think it's incredible that when Culver does struggle, that this team was able to put it together and pull out a dub. That was what was most impressive to me, is that we got the dub despite Culver really not coming alive until the last 6-7 minutes of that basketball game.
Yeah, 30 minutes into the game, Culver had 1 point. He's had some foul trouble early on, but still couldn't get anything going in the basket. And when he touched the ball, he committed 3 turnovers in the game when, you know, it was not working for him. But I will say this about Jarrett Culver. And you tell me, let me ask you how you felt. When I saw Jarrett Culver at the end of the game, no matter what he did, I still said, I want the ball in his hands. Because no matter what, I don't care how bad of a game he's doing, I still trust him over anybody on the court right now.
Yes and no, a little bit. I've always been one to ride the hot hand, and that hot hand was Matt Mooney, and he was making it happen. He picked up the slack for Jarrett Culver in terms of scoring. But you're right. If I am going to pick a guy, regardless of how they're playing in a game, it's Jarrett Culver. And you know, he came in clutch with that big three-point basket at the end of the game. And that was what – that was the dagger. Exactly. That was the dagger. So say what you want about him having a really slow game. And credit to Michigan State, they threw everything at Jarrett Culver. They said, I don't care which one of these 4 guys scores. It's just not going to be Jarrett Culver. And Matt Mooney, I think there was a point in the game where Coach Cifrian went up to Matt Mooney and said, hey, guys aren't finding their shots. It's your time. And then he took off from there. But Jarrett Culver, great perseverance for Jarrett Culver to sink that three.
So let's talk a little bit about Matt Mooney. I mean, it was his time. That was the best game he has played all year. And there's not even a close second. Like, that was whenever the team needed him most, he rose to the occasion. When nobody could find their shot, he said, I got this. And look how much Matt Mooney has grown from December and January. There was a stretch in January where he was playing awful. We talked about it on the pod. I ragged on him. He was, hell, Coach Beard in a press conference basically called him out without naming him. He was playing terribly. And go from just what was a little over 2 months ago to where he is now. I'm now hearing that apparently some NBA people are now looking at him. Mind you, this is why Mooney is one of the reasons why Mooney came to Tech, is to potentially get looked at. He, on the biggest stage in the Final Four, showed up and showed out.
Yeah, and honestly, I think this is this kind of performance was what Chris Beard envisioned when he recruited Matt Mooney. Matt Mooney came in and was supposed to be a scorer. He was supposed to replace all of that scoring that we lost, and he really didn't. He became a defensive role player for the most part, a really good defensive role player. And now you're starting to see that offense pick up a little bit. And last night, it was probably the one time he had the green light to just be like, hey, no, this is your time. Because, you know, usually Jarrett Culver is doing Jarrett Culver, but this was Matt Mooney's opportunity. Like, hey, we need someone. I know you can do this. I know you're capable of doing it. Go and get it. And he did.
On the flip side, with Culver and Mooney making really clutch baskets, Cassius Winston from Michigan State, who everybody had billed as the best player on the court. And I even talked about this. But this was probably going to be the first time or that Culver had to go up against Hakimura in the Gonzaga game. But a lot of people felt that this was the first time Culver was going up against a team where the better player was on the opposing side. That even though Cassius Winston may not get drafted as high, that the better college basketball player was Cassius Winston instead of Jarrett Culver. And Cassius Winston kind of showed in the first half. In the first half, him and Matt McQuaid were the only ones scoring points. But in the second half, talk about inefficiency. Winston couldn't buy a basket.
Yeah, and I had a feeling Winston was going to have trouble with the length and size of Texas Tech, and he really did. I wouldn't say, you know, you might be able to make the argument that he's a better college player than Jarrett Culver was, but he doesn't have the supporting cast that Jarrett Culver had around him, in a Matt Mooney, in a Tariq Owens, in a Norris Odiasse.
Well, so what, Winston was a first-team All-American. Culver was second-team All-American. Winston, if Zion doesn't win the National Player of the Year, it probably goes to Cassius Winston. That's how good of a player he had been this year. And so the fact – but, again, I mean, Michigan State, when they needed him the most, neither him nor Matt McQuaid really stepped up. I mean, nobody from Michigan State did. And the second half, yes, they put up 30 points in the second half, but when they needed buckets, they needed a shot. After Tariq Owens – and we're going to get a little bit into that in Tariq Owens' injury in a little bit. But after that injury to Tariq Owens, Michigan State made a little bit of a run to cut it to 4, and then didn't score again for the rest of the game. And that goes to Tech's defense, and that also goes to the fact that Tech just was able to put up baskets at the end of the game that Michigan State was not.
Yeah, that's all it really was, because in the first half, like, no one could buy a bucket, and it was kind of a struggle to watch. But coming out of the second half, you saw Tech's offense pick up, and we had control of that game for a good 6-7 minutes until that run you mentioned happened, and they kind of gave us a little scare. But for the second half, we had control in this game, and just like every other game we played in the tournament, if it's a close first half, Chris Beard comes out in the second half with a plan, and that plan works.
Because he's the second half adjustment god. I talked about in the preview pod that I was worried against Tom Izzo because Tom Izzo also can hold that title. And Coach Beard outcoached Tom Izzo. Like think of the coaches that he's been able to outcoach recently. He outcoached Nate Oates, a guy who just got a big time gig in Alabama. He outcoached Mark Few, one of the best. I mean, Mark Few has been approached by literally every coach in college basketball to try to leave Gonzaga, and they can't take him away from him. He's that good of a has taken little Gonzaga and made them this power, this damn near blue blood. And then he just outcoached Tom Izzo. And he did outcoach him. I mean, the beginning of the second half, Tech built a lead because he outcoached him. Like, that's just to think about that is just incredible.
Well, then also think about the coaches of the Big 12, the Bill Selfs of the world. You know, like, the coaches in the Big 12 are no joke either, and he found a way to win that league, so credit to him, dude.
Yeah, Big 12 is a coaching slaughterhouse. I mean, there's not one bad coach that's not named Chaka Smart in that conference. So, little UT dig there. But
Or UCLA dig.
Yeah, well... You think he's going to UCLA?
No, but I just heard that that's their fallback plan, and I know the Jamie Dixon thing isn't happening because they're sweating the buyout. So, anyways, we're getting off topic, but that situation's ridiculous.
So I did want to get into Tariq Owens's injury. Now, Tariq Owens, from the very beginning of the game, I tweeted out something about him leaving in a body bag because he hit his head against Davide Moretti. He dove onto the scorer's table. He was laying it all on the line, and he was just like, his body was up for, he was just basically just destroying himself. And then sure enough, coming down from, and funny enough, he injures himself on like the tamest of plays, coming down from a rebound, twists his ankle, not just twists his ankle, but him being a tall, lanky player, his knee kind of buckles. And all of Raider Nation gasps at that point.
Yeah, because as soon as he went down, you saw that run happened, and that was like a key turning point in the game. But I damn near shed a tear when I saw him running back from the tunnel, high-fiving all the Texas Tech fans that were there. Like, that was such a cool moment to me. And regardless, he didn't really play after that. I think he checked in for a minute or two, and I think Chris Beard didn't like what he saw, just because maybe he was a little nervous, you know, wanted to rest him for the potential next game. But just the fact that he came back out, I think, lifted our spirits a little as a whole.
No, definitely. I mean, Tariq Owens is big. And the reason why I was worrisome at the time when Tariq Owens went out, Tech had a decent lead. The lead, we were able to get a couple more baskets right after he got hurt. But you're right, Michigan State went on their run right because of that. And the bigger reason is because that's really our only big guy. Offensively, Noren Soldiassi is not going to do much. Noren Soldiassi, even though he's a decent rebounder, is still fairly short at his position. Michigan State's physical. They're tough. They're physical, and they rebound well. And so when Tariq Owens went out, they saw their opportunity right there. Not only that, Tariq Owens was kind of becoming a rim protector, had been a rim protector in this game, had three blocks. Now the rim protector's gone. So that's one thing that really helped Michigan State. But you're right. Owens coming back lifted the spirits of everybody, and not just everybody, you know, as far as this game is concerned, lifted up the spirits of, oh God, we can win the whole thing now. Because Tariq Owens goes down and he's out. Let's say he does something crazy to his leg and he can't play. Then Tech still probably could have won this game because there was a little less than 10 minutes to go, and they had like an 8-point lead at the time. But then you're looking at the next game and thinking, how? I mean, that's going to be even tougher. Tariq Owens coming back, you're thinking, okay, let's go out here and get this because we win this game and we can, and the next one's still right there. We got this.
Yeah, and you look at the work Tariq Owens did on Nick Ward. Nick Ward was nothing until Tariq went out, and then he started making buckets and started that run. And it's just this whole defense philosophy, this whole concept, all of what Chris Beard is doing, it starts with Tariq Owens. He is the centerpiece of that defense because the whole idea is to push people baseline and that he's there to help. And Tariq Owens is the best help defender in all of basketball. I'll say that now. In all of college basketball, he is the best. So if he was going to be out in this next game, it would have been a huge blow.
Wow, that's a pretty damning statement. Well, so we're talking about defense. We go to the national championship game. The two best defensive teams in the country are going up against each other. I know when we played Michigan in Sweet 16, that was what the game was billed as. But I think Virginia is a better defensive team than Michigan is. Even if statistically Virginia ranks out as, I believe, no, I take that back. Tech is first, Houston is second, Virginia third, Michigan fourth. Like those are the top four anyway. To me, these are the best two defensive teams in the country. So I did make a joke a couple weeks ago that the country does not want to see Tech Virginia in the national championship game because it'd be the most boring national championship game you've ever seen. Well, hello, everybody. We welcome to the most boring national championship game you've ever seen. What do you think about this game?
I disagree. I would much rather see Virginia and Texas Tech than Duke, Kentucky. There was actually an article written about it. Don't look for it. Don't click it because it's garbage. There's no blue bloods and this is going to be a boring tournament game. For me, I love watching defense. So I know it's an unpopular opinion, but I love watching defense and I'm going to get it in this game. Like you said, Tech is number one in defensive efficiency. No one holds the other team to less points than Virginia. So it literally is the two best defenses in college basketball going head to head.
I would have rather seen Tech Auburn. Under Armour would have too, right? Like Under Armour would have had a field day with Tech Auburn, but I would have loved to see Tech Auburn because it would have been contrasting styles. It would have been Auburn, who's a guard heavy 3-point shooting, run up and down the court transition buckets team versus Tech, who defends those teams very, very well. And I'm not going to lie, if we play Auburn, I don't see a way that Auburn beats Tech. That's like that. I had it hurt knowing that they'd be playing Virginia instead of Auburn, because Auburn is the exact team that Tech has just, you know, they Tech just whooped Buffalo, and Buffalo and Auburn are the same team, right? Like, so you had to imagine that Tech. But on the flip side, if you're Chris Beard, you're hoping that Virginia is more like Michigan. I think Virginia seems is a better version of Michigan. But with that being said, Tech Virginia should be it's going to be a close game, going to be a good affair. I do agree with you in the fact that I don't – like, Blue Bloods don't have to be in every time. The reason why everybody wants Blue Bloods is because you guarantee to see fan bases watch the game. Like, Duke has a big enough fan base where enough people are going to watch the game. North Carolina, Kentucky, et cetera, et cetera. But here's the thing. You don't think that Tech fans that have been waiting – for the last 80 years, 90 years to watch Tech in this situation won't watch this game? You don't think Virginia fans who've been waiting the last 80, 90 years and have never seen Virginia in the championship game was going to watch this game? You don't think people that are tired of Blue Bloods are going to watch this game with two new people in there? Like, I don't agree with the premise that you have to have Blue Bloods every year for people to tune in. I just don't agree with that.
Well, not only that, but I think a lot of people's big concerns is where are the superstars? Jarrett Culver and DeAndre Hunter are both potentially top five picks in the draft.
They are the superstars. Like I read actually the last big board I saw was number one Zion Williamson, number two Ja Morant, number three RJ Barrett, obviously. Number four Jarrett Culver, number five DeAndre Hunter.
Exactly.
Like that's it. Would you rather have a Michigan State that doesn't have a future NBA draft pick? Cassius Winston is not going high in the draft. Nobody on that Michigan State team is going high in the draft. So would you rather have that team? Would you rather have an Auburn team that doesn't have anybody going high in the draft, right? Nobody in Kentucky is going to go in the top 10. I mean, like North Carolina, Kobe White's probably going to go 10th, 9th, or 10th. Like there's no – I don't know who else you – if it's not Duke, like who else is going to have the high-power championship game as Tech versus Virginia?
Yeah, that's the argument. If it's not Duke, the two best players in this tournament are Jarrett Culver and DeAndre Hunter.
Now, I will say DeAndre Hunter's kind of lost DeAndre Hunter hasn't had the best NCAA tournament. But it helps him that Kyle Guy and Ty Jerome have had great NCAA tournaments.
Well, that's what I was going to say is I think the only reason why he hasn't had a great tournament is because other guys are stepping up, and that's not good for us.
Yeah, I mean, I'm scared of Kyle Guy. I'm not going to lie. He is having the tournament of his life. He is doing everything necessary to help this team win. Coming into the tournament, I would have said that Ty Jerome is their second best player, but Kyle Guy is just doing it all. He's becoming the star of the tournament. The MOP is definitely going to be obviously it'll be Culver if Tech wins, but if Virginia wins, it'll probably be Kyle Guy. Like, he has been that good of a player. Not to mention, if you decided not to watch the first game in the Final Four, because why would you? Tech's not in it, so who cares? But the ending to that Virginia-Auburn game was the most heartbreaking way to lose a game I've seen in a very long time for Auburn, and one of the most improbable ways to win a game if you're Virginia. Did you watch that first game?
Yeah, and I only want to say two things about that game. There was a missed double dribble call.
Yeah.
And the call that led to three free throws was absolutely 100% correct.
Yes and yes. I mean, I will say about the double dribble. This is what I'll say about the double dribble, and I find it pretty funny. When you first saw the double dribble, were you saying, oh, it's a double dribble, or you just didn't say anything, you just let the play move on?
No, I didn't see the double dribble till after the game, until I was on Twitter after the game.
Literally, and I was on Twitter during the game, because the best thing about watching a game live is watching it on Twitter. Nobody knew it was, or even thought about the double dribble while it was happening. Nobody did. It wasn't until the CBS referee announcer, Sarator, stated, yeah, technically that's a double dribble. And then everybody was like, oh, how could they miss that call? Nobody else knew it. I mean, I think a lot of the times the refs get a bad break. Let's say the refs call that double dribble. How many people would have went on Twitter and said, oh, you can't call that at that time?
Yeah, right? Exactly. Like,
you know, so I to be honest, yes, they could have called the double dribble. Yes, they might have even I'm not even positive that a double dribble even came to their mind at the moment, because it didn't come to anybody else's. Even if they knew the rule, you know how many rules there are in basketball? Like, I know these are professional, these are supposed to be the cream of the crop, but look, there's a lot of tough rules in college basketball. I will say, that's a foul. Don't be mad at the ref for calling the foul. Be mad at the Auburn player for committing the foul. That's a foul, 100%. Like, and it's not even one of those landing spot fouls. He bumped his leg while he was in the process of shooting. So it's not one of those it's not a landing spot foul. It's not a you don't call that foul that moment type of foul. He hit him while he was shooting, right? You know, these are the same people that complain about the fact that there was no call called in the New Orleans Saints game are the same people saying that, oh, you can't call that at that moment. That was a foul. Now, if that would have happened after he released the ball, then yeah, I would have maybe even said something like, ah, you don't call it. No, he hit him while he was shooting. That's a foul. So what sucks is that that's a foul. Kyle Guy makes all three of his free throws. So unfortunately, we know that Kyle Guy has ice in his veins. So if that ever happens to us at the end of the game, we're effed. But is Culver versus Guy the only matchup in this game?
No, because I think Ty Jerome kind of scares me a little too. So I expect Moretti, Mooney to kind of shadow him and Guy. And then I don't know who's gonna guard DeAndre Hunter.
Very good question. And you know what, what's funny about DeAndre Hunter, you know who I could see guarding him and who I kind of think is gonna guard him? Tariq Owens. He reminds me a little bit of whenever we played Iowa State and Mario Shayok was killing us earlier in the game, and then Tariq Owens played him for a good 20-25 minutes and he didn't score a single back. Tariq Owens would be, his length is definitely going to limit DeAndre Hunter. I could also see Norrence Odiasi switching off if Hunter tries to bully Owens in the paint. Norrence Odiasi will bully him right back, you know. But at the same time, who's going to guard Jared Culver on their side? Ty Jerome and Kyle Guy are too small. They'll get big body. Who's going to guard Jared Culver?
Probably DeAndre Hunter.
But see, and that would be a great matchup right there. And that's the fight for the fourth pick in the NBA draft is what we should call it. DeAndre Hunter versus Jared Culver.
Yeah, that'll be a good matchup to watch. I'm also a little scared of their big, DMTK, or however you say his last name. DMTK. He's a big boy.
He is. I mean, one thing that I'll say about this game is that Jared Culver has had four just incredible games going up to this game. Up to the national semifinal game. And I was thinking before the Final Four, like, one thing that worries me is that Culver hasn't had a bad game yet, right? And that he hadn't had a bad game in a while, too. Not just yet, but, like, he hasn't had a bad game in quite a bit. And I'm not talking about an inefficient game, because he had a few of those. But I'm talking about just a straight-up bad game where he wasn't leading the team in scoring. And he had it last game. And so one of two things is going to happen. either the Jared Culver we know and love is going to bust out for like 25, 30 points, just like he did in that Iowa State game, or he's going to figure it out. Virginia's going to throw everything at him again. I'm going to tell you why I think it's going to be the former. Before I say that, which one do you foresee?
I'm worried about the length of DeAndre Hunter if he is guarding Jared Culver. It would be probably the biggest, best athlete that's guarded Culver all year. So that concerns me. But I do think Culver is going to be the first guy in the gym today and the last guy out today. He'll be ready. He'll be ready for tomorrow.
So I'm going to tell you why I think it's going to be the former. Why I think Culver is going to be due for a huge game today. And the reason why is because Jared Culver, Virginia is not going to do what Michigan State did, where they'll say anybody else can beat us but Culver. Because they've seen that. They see that how that works. Anybody else can beat us but Culver? Well, Davide Moretti's had some games where teams have done that, and he's bought out. Matt Moody's had some games where he's done that, and he's bought out. And I think they understand that. So I think that you're right. They're going to put just DeAndre Hunter on it. Jared Culver is not going to go two games in a row getting shut out. Jared Culver, hell, if this game would have went to overtime in the last game, Jared Culver would have busted out 10 points in that game. Jared Culver has been in the high-pressure, high situations. He's the same guy that had a great Sweet 16 game last year. He's the same guy that had a great game. I could bring up Iowa State again. He basically won the Big 12 Player of the Year on that one game alone. Jared Culver, if there's anybody, I'm not worried about it. And if they're going to only put DeAndre Hunter on him, good luck. DeAndre Hunter has length. I give you that. But if you're going to do 1v1, I trust the guy that's averaging more points and has a better defensive rating in Jared Culver than DeAndre Hunter, who struggled in this tournament.
Well, then, if they are going one-on-one, I could see some, like, ISO hero ball happening where they're going to say, you know what, you're not quick enough. Culver's first step is elite, and he will get past you.
So one thing about Virginia that scares me also is this team has lost three times all year. Just three times. And two of them, and they only lost to two teams. And two of them were to Duke, right? You know, what are some ways that you see that team like Duke and a team like Florida State has been able to beat, and that you foresee Tech doing the same thing?
Well, I mean, I look at their last three games. You know, they escaped Auburn last night. They escaped Purdue in the last round, and in the semifinal they were 4 points over Oregon. So this team hasn't been scoring the ball as much as they have leading up to the tournament. So I think that's something worth noting. This game's going to be so low scoring, like first of 55 wins. It's not so much what teams that have beat them, like copying that recipe. I think the recipe is just staying true to ourselves.
So it's funny that you said that about it's going to be low scoring. So I believe, and let me look at this, what ESPN has here. But what I'm seeing on the ESPN website is that this national championship game is going to be the lowest over under in 20 years. I think the over under for the first half should be like maybe 50. Right. But I'll say this. You're right about the last two games for Virginia. Tech in the five games they've played haven't really had controversy. Sorry, Gonzaga, that out of bounds thing's not controversy. You were down by they were down by like a five with less than a minute to go. Like, it's not controversy. But I will say this: Tech's had control on every game that they've at the end of the game of every game they've played so far. Virginia, however, the last two games they've played, you could argue they shouldn't be here. The last two games, I would argue that. You know, that they are extremely lucky to have been and to have gone to overtime against Purdue. That's another conversation for another day. I don't think they should be here. But they got really lucky, and they got lucky again against Auburn, them getting fouled, right? So that's two games in a row. So even though they've only lost three games this year, the last two games, they got just lucky of lucky. So, I mean, either destiny's on their side, and in which case there's nothing Tech can do, or Tech's not going to make the same mistakes as the last two teams did.
If destiny is on somebody's side, it's Texas Tech's. Let's be honest.
Yeah, we're playing for Nipsey. We're playing for Nipsey. That's another thing I want to mention right before we get off this pod. Nipsey Hussle, the great rapper, RIP, A greater philanthropist than he is a rapper. I don't want to put that, you know, the negative rapper stigma on him, because the things that he was doing in the community and the things that he was doing were just immensely great. Came to the Elite Eight game to support Brandon Francis. Brandon Francis's father were fairly close. He came to support Brandon Francis, to support the Red Raiders. He was in the Red Raider section chanting "Fight Raiders, fight." Nipsey Hussle, the day before he passed away, was a Red Raider fan. Tech got to win it for Nipsey. This game, this is for Nipsey. All right, we got to do it.
Do it for Nips.
Got anything to say for the people?
I won a bet in my office, so I'm bringing my Red Raider hoodie to work tomorrow, so my Michigan State coworker has to wear it. Wreck 'em.
Nice, nice. Oh, and your prediction before we get off.
Oh, we didn't even do predictions. Yeah, low scoring game. It's I say first of 55 wins, but I do think it's probably going to be, I don't know, 63-60, Texas Tech.
63-60, I like it. The last pod, I picked Michigan State to lose, or to win, I mean. I picked Michigan State to win, and like always, all this year, every time I pick the team to win, to Tech to lose, they've won, right? I also said the team that was going to win the semifinal game was going to win the whole thing, right? I still believe the team that was going to win the Texas Tech Michigan State game was going to win the whole thing. But staying true to tradition, I got to pick against Tech to keep the streak alive. So wrong Al can be wrong again. I'm going to go ahead and say Virginia 63-60. Wink, wink. Let's go, Red Raiders. Wreck 'em, Tech. This has been the championship game edition of the Air Raid podcast on presented by Viva the Matadors. Guys, please do not burn Lubbock to the ground when we win this game. I'm so excited. I don't think I've ever been more excited for a game in my life. Let's go, Red Raiders. As always, stay wrecked, people.